really had thought about that this week because one of my grandchildren was kind of acted up and having a hard time and receiving a little discipline and that kind of thing. And then finally she ran up and grabbed me by the leg and said, "Grandpa, I love you." And I thought, how can I not love that? Really, and you know, with your children, with your grandchildren, with cousins, all that kind of thing, wherever you may be, there's just no way you don't love. And God loves us so and loves us to grow in him and get to know him and that kind of thing. But even though my grandchild was having a naughty time, that didn't stop me from loving her, right? And I think God's the same way, amen? All right, so last week we learned about the old man and the new man. And the old man meaning that you were once, before you were in Christ, you were this person of sin and so on. And then we were introduced to the fact that have become the new man in Christ. And when you received him by faith in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new man," right? "Old things, the old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And so once we know Christ as Savior, things have become new, but here's the dilemma. I can easily imagine, for you as well as for me, that you found yourself imitating the old man even though he's gone, right? Acting like crazy or sinful, and he doesn't exist anymore, folks. Brothers and sisters, hear me on this. You are the new, and when I say man, I mean person, okay? You are the new person. And we talked last week, and now Paul gives us six examples of ways that we impersonate that old man that no longer exists. And maybe because it doesn't seem so bad to us, because we are so used to being there. So let's just read our teaching for this morning, our scripture. And I will read the white, you read the yellow. "But you have not so learned Christ, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off," or having put off, "concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." Yeah, and you remember that says that you must be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you, having put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, here's the first example, and let me just read this verse, verse 25. "Therefore, putting away lying, each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Now, when he says put away, it means cease doing what you were accustomed to do. And that's just exactly what we're talking about. "Therefore, cease doing what you were accustomed to doing, which is lying." Right? The old man. "Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Now, we touched on the same subject back in verse 15, when we are in 15, I want to read that one. "But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." So what's God's answer to the person in verse 15 and verse 25 that we're looking at today? Well, here's his answer. Stop lying, Christian. Stop lying. And the first of Paul's six admonitions is stop lying to others, because you are attached to each other and you are connected and functioning with each other as members of God's family. And you can't function effectively in the body of Christ when you aren't truthful. There is no growth. Do you realize that? That's what the scripture says. You can only grow by knowing the truth. So God's saying, and I'm just synthesizing it right down, stop lying, folks. That's the old man. We don't have to do that anymore. So you might be thinking, well, how? Anybody thinking that? Okay, just me? Okay, pretty quiet group today. All right. Maybe you're lying to yourself and saying you have no problem with lying. Liar. Okay, you're awake. All right. So let me give you some helpful steps. Let's start with the question, is lying common to us? Okay. Now I want to go back to when we were at verse 15 and just bring up a couple things. Remember that I talked about a research group at the University of Massachusetts that concluded after testing hundreds and hundreds of people with a 10-minute conversation, they found that the average person lied three times in that 10 minutes about something. Either an exaggeration or total untrue. Three times in 10 minutes. Or this one. According to The Day America Told the Truth, and I did quite a research on that and found out that they actually tested thousands and thousands of people. And the whole goal was just be honest because your name's not on this kind of thing. They really coached him. And found out that 80% of us lie to our parents. Kids to their parents, even when they get older. It came up to 86%. Can you believe that? And you know it because, boy, the parents, they're really not very flexible, are they? All right. Followed by friends, 75%. Oh, that's kind of a drag, isn't it? 75% of the time people are lying to their friends. Siblings, 73%. So to sisters and brothers, 73% of people lie to those. Oh, and then the spouses, 69%. How in the world can you have a marriage when you're lying to your spouse? That's really tough. And it seems to be second nature. So once you ease into the habit, it's very difficult to ease back out, isn't it? It gets kind of, like an addiction. So here's what God says about anything we give ourselves to. Not just lying, but any other kind of sin. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Now, Paul's saying that because we are under grace, aren't we? We are not. The previous verse says, you are not under law, but under grace. So what Paul's saying is, well, should we just go ahead and sin? Okay? Since we're not under the law. Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? And so what he's saying here is, it's not about heaven and hell, folks. It's about addiction. And the problem is, it's like smoking or drinking or other types of addiction. It's the fallback mechanism that we use when we face uncomfortable situations. But eventually, it bites and devours us and goes so far as to destroy us. So let me just ask you a question, and don't raise your hands, okay? Do you lie at all? I'm kind of thinking you're looking at me like, boy, that's not me. Okay? Liars. You know, years ago, I went to Grace Bible College. That's where I met my wife, Debbie. And I came from Seattle, and I took the pastor's son with me, and we drove in my little Mustang all the way to Grand Rapids, Michigan. And he seemed like a great kid. We talked the whole time. In fact, I got to tell you, this is a side deal. We're driving through Spokane, and we'd been at camp all night, up all night with the kids. You know how it is at camp, crying, and everybody's committing their life to Christ and that kind of thing. And I'm going to Spokane. I nod out, and I drive down into the median and bump it around, and I get back on the road, and he wakes up and goes, what happened? I said, what do you mean? And he says, well, I heard all this noise. And I said, I think it must have been your dream. I never did tell him. Okay. Anyhow, one day, as we were both settling in and went to our classes, I saw him walk past, and he had a pair of my jeans on. And so I thought, so I asked him about it, and I thought, you know, it's kind of rude because He lived down in the dorm, and I lived in a college apartment, and he had to go up to my college department, get into my closet, and get my jeans. And they had bleach marks on them, and so it was pretty undeniable. And he immediately responded, and finally it came to the place that a couple teachers got involved because we were talking. And I said, well, I know that's mine because it has a couple bleach spots on the leg, and you can't duplicate that. There's just no way. And he says, well, I have a bleach bottle up in my closet, and it spilled over and hit my jeans. And I said, well, let's go look at that, because if it spilled over and hit your jeans, it probably bleached out the carpet, and it probably bleached out other shirts and pants and that kind of thing. And finally, I realized I wasn't going to get anywhere because he was just lie, 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 lie. And finally, I said, you know what? Keep the jeans. If you need them that bad, keep them. Probably wasn't the right thing to say. But anyhow, so the president pulled me over, and he was a psychologist. He said, by the way, I just wanted to tell you this. He's been diagnosed as a pathological liar. And so he probably doesn't even know that he's not telling the truth. And I said, well, you know, the problem is you become a pathological liar by practice, right? And so he may not have known. I wanted to make it known to him. I'd like to help him out of that pathological lying, you know. But he was addicted, just as Paul said when he said, don't you know that to whom you present yourself a slave, you become that one's slave? And that is the way it is in our Christian life. We have been built to be a servant or a slave of Jesus Christ. And the problem is we put it into other things. And one of the things that we put it into is we get addicted to lying, addicted to twisting the truth a bit. I mean, I'm an extrovert. I kind of like to just move the story a little bit so it sounds better and more fun, right? Man, you get done with the story of me or any of the other extroverts in here, and it was the time of our life, right? And you think, how in the world can they have that much fun? Okay, well. You know, many of you have become so comfortable with lying, and it's so second nature to you, that you may even be sitting here thinking, I don't lie. I don't lie at all. But I want you to think about it today. I want to back you back out a little bit and have you think about it, because here's the thing is if you are getting into the place where you misrepresent the truth and you kind of lie and cover up for things, you're going to end up headed for destruction in your life. It's going to come back to you and those people around you as well. Now, what happened to the pastor's son? Well, last I heard, he was on his fifth wife. Why do you think? You know, and then I heard about his kids, and every one of his kids were pathological liars. And so he was having problems because they'd lie about everything, and he lied about everything, and each wife probably did too. And what a struggle that was. And I felt so sorry for him. You know, the guy was a slave to unrighteousness, and his children were headed down that road, and many of us may be headed there. Because we start with exaggeration and we move it to, you know, it's much easier just to change the facts a little bit so that it kind of fits in the program and we're okay. As most addicts, quitting lying is essential to our well-being, folks. And like any other addiction, the first step is to admit the problem. And if you can't admit to the problem, you're in big trouble. Can you admit to the lie? That's the question I have for you this morning. And then, can you decide to stop lying? Let's start by figuring out why we might lie to yourself, to others, and even to God, because we even do that with God. Is it not being able to navigate through rough circumstances? Maybe it's a way to gain control over situations. Maybe it's seems like a clear path to getting what you want. Maybe it's a way to look, make yourself look better. Just look at any resume, right? I just saw this statistics where they said 92% of people lie on their resume. 92, okay? Maybe it's the pressure to compete. Maybe it's to boost your status at work. Maybe socially. Or maybe to look like you have a great church to someone. Or maybe you lie as a way to comfort yourself. Or lying to yourself prevents you having to think about the things in your life that you don't want to think about. Do you love stretching stories and gossip? Maybe being dishonest with God because you're afraid of him and you're afraid what he might do if he knows the truth. And, of course, he doesn't really know the truth, does he? Yeah. But we still are that silly sometimes in our mind. Two, determine why you want to stop. Because why stop when it makes life easier? Here's a few good reasons to stop lying. Because God asked you to. That's number one. We could stop there, couldn't we? To feel like an upright person again, to connect with others again, to help your ability to make friends and be truly part of this community. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Man, just think, we can gain back trust. This could take a while, but what a great idea. Especially if we're known to be a liar. But to be able to grow in Christ, that's huge. You can't grow if you don't face the truth. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Now, can we create a battle plan? All right, so I want to go to our Tuesday night men's group, and Anthony and I are doing the 33 series. Man, what a wonderful series, guys. I almost want to repeat that with different guys when we do it again. It is such a great, and we're talking about false idols in our life, and of course lying would be creating a false idol. And let me apply their battle plan this morning, because I think it's great. Number one, admit the struggle, okay? Own up to your lying and the problems it's causing you. And you are following the old man pattern. And what they say is avoid the 97% rule, which is not completely owning up to all the truth, right? We can say, okay, wait a minute. Yeah, I do lie, and you know, I stretch truths, and I gossip, and sometimes I just kind of hear one side, but I'm not really. And you leave the other 3% out. Which, when you put the other 3% in, it humbles us, right? And we just say, God, you're right, I'm wrong. That's what we're after. Admit the struggle. Remove the mask. And start with prayer and confession. Explain to the Lord, I am a liar. I hate to admit it, but I'm a liar. And I need help and your grace. And then confess the lies that you know. And so you and the Holy Spirit have something to work on and identify those lies. Maybe share it with a trustworthy friend that could be truthful with you. And then the second thing is identify the underlying lie that you really believe that motivates you to tell the lie. What is it that seduces you to lie to others? And so their point is to identify triggers. What is it? Is it that you're afraid, insecure, whatever it may be? Figure that out. The emotions, people, places that tend to cause you to avoid the truth. Even asking yourself why God's word isn't enough. And then three, replace your thinking with the truth. Pretty simple, huh? Replace it with the truth. Listen, we can say we believe something, but if it doesn't show up in our life, we really don't believe it. How many times have you said to somebody, You know, I think God totally loves me all the time, every day. And then all of a sudden you're thinking God doesn't love you. Well, then you don't believe that, right? You believe that God doesn't love you at times, or you wouldn't react that way. And so here's the thing. We got to replace the lie with the truth. And just as Lindsay said, God loves us all the time. We can say, I believe the truth is the best course of action. But really, if I'm lying, I don't believe that the truth is the best road. So we have to replace the lie with believing the truth. But we have to know what that truth is. So let me just give you a couple scriptures, just a couple. Here's one. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Almost the exact verse we're looking at. Proverbs 6, 16 and 20. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are abomination to him. Meaning it travels down the wrong road. A proud look. What's the next one? A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks. Oh, isn't it interesting that in the abomination, there's two places that talk about lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. Proverbs 12, 19 and 22. The truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Are his delight. Did you get that? Are his delight. Truthful lips are his delight. Proverbs 19:5. A false witness will not go unpunished. And he who speaks lies will not what? Escape. Wow. That's kind of scary, isn't it? So this is what I see. God delights in us when we tell the truth. We'll never grow to maturity without telling the truth and believing the truth. Our lying is hated and is an abomination to God. He doesn't think white lies are okay. And fourth, we don't go unpunished. For whom he loves, he disciplines. So in closing, I just want to read this article. I found this article. It's not a Christian article. It's just the world. But I thought that they summed it up kind of good for us. The more you tell the truth and are accountable to the expectations of other people, the more they'll trust you. It feels good to be trusted by other people. Trust leads to great friendships, intimate relationships, and a feeling of belonging. It banishes loneliness and creates community. When you stop lying, you gain freedom to be yourself and be accepted by others for who you really are. So here's God's word to you and me today. Stop lying. Right? Stop it. Father, we come this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, it's a little tough. It's tough because you put these things in, and we know when it draws down to the end of those six things, you say, well, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom we are sealed to the day of redemption. It has nothing to do with our salvation. It has everything to do with our growth and our completeness in you. And so, Lord, help us today to think about where we are in this first one, in lying. Lord, we know by statistics, we know in our own life that there are certain things we say, we stretch, we move it around, we say things, and Lord, you hate it. You hate it in us. You don't hate us, you hate it. So Lord, help us today to take a good, honest look inside and evaluate. While our heads are bowed, you may be here this morning and you've come looking for a relationship with God. Maybe you don't even have the relationship with God. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard and that the wages of that sin is death. But it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so in Romans 10:9, it says this, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning, if you've come looking for that, or maybe you've been around for a while, but today's the day, I'm going to pray a little prayer and you just pray along with me. Follow along. Nothing magical about the prayer, just help you through so that you can give your life to Jesus Christ. And the prayer goes like this, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as that verse said, and that you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I serve you. While our heads are still bowed, if you prayed that prayer with me and you really meant it, show God you meant it. Raise your hand up, put it back down. Let God know, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Father, we just thank you this morning that we have four people that are willing to turn their lives over to you. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'll help them to come seek us out or get training. We have so many different things in this church to get trained in, to understand your word. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you work in the hearts of people. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.